We're talking about Harley-Davidson's weak earnings report and President Trump's reaction. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee-based Harley has been caught up in the trade war during the past year as the Trump administration imposed tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. And now, with news of Harley's weak first quarter, the president is coming to Harley's defense. What do you say about the president's threat to retaliate against the European Union for its tariffs on Harley? Do you think it's only fair? Do you worry that it could trigger a trade war? Join in at 800-642-1234. Christina Fattori is an associate professor of political science at West Virginia State University, where she studies international trade and development. Christina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. So put this into context for us. We see these tweets from President Trump coming to the defense of Harley, as Harley has this very weak earnings report. What does this say about tariffs and where we stand with the European Union?
Well, it's very ironic, because if you were looking at his tweets a year ago, he was throwing Harley under the bus, right? Trump was saying that goods should only be made in America, and that Harley being affected by the steel and aluminum tariffs that the Trump administration placed against the EU, and then its retaliatory tariffs, shouldn't have an effect on how Harley does business or how Harley makes goods here in the United States. It's really interesting now to see him coming to their defense, especially since this is all an effect of what he did in June of last year.
Well, let's go back to June of last year. Harley announced it would be moving some of its production overseas, and it took that step in order to avoid retaliatory tariffs from the EU in response to U.S. import taxes imposed by the president. And now, almost a year later, the company has this pretty significant drop in its first quarter earnings. What does that say, perhaps, about these tariffs? Can you explain this in a broader context for us?
You know, I wonder, there's a few things going on. Is it because of the tariffs, or is it because of the attitude and the America First policy that we have going on, that we see this downturn in Harley-Davidson? You know, in June of last year, the EU placed, like we said, these reciprocal tariffs on the United States. If we go back a little further, in April, President Trump placed tariffs on the EU, and specifically aluminum and steel imports coming out, or should I say exports coming out of the EU, which is used by our automobile industry. Harley is a great example of this, along with a lot of other industries, construction and other things. And so that just makes goods go up in price, right? When we think about how much it costs to make something and then how that is passed along to consumers, the average consumer isn't really clear on how tariffs affect pricing, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the Trump administration talks about how trade wars are a good thing, how tariffs will help bring these kind of unruly countries that are against the United States into line, and that's not necessarily true. Tariffs exist on almost all products that we consume, and when tariffs are raised, that just means the price is passed on to consumers. So for Harley and Harley's first quarter earnings, what we see going on is a few things, right? Number one, motorcycles have clearly become more expensive because of this tariff on steel exports. But also, because of the rhetoric coming out of the White House, many people are feeling that Harley-Davidson is not representing what America is or what America should be.
Talking with Christina Fattori, she's an associate professor of political science at West Virginia State University. And we're looking at Harley-Davidson's first quarter earnings that did see a drop, and President Trump coming to Harley's aid. Christina, you've written that the line between foreign and domestic isn't as distinct as we might think in terms of the manufacturing process, particularly when it comes to automobile production. Does that apply to motorcycles as well? And does that have an impact on this America First agenda?
Definitely. When we think about American made or where things are made, we like to put labels on things, and we think it's so clear. Here in West Virginia, we have a Toyota plant. Is Toyota an American car, or is it a Japanese car? I don't know. They're being made here in West Virginia, so how does that label apply to them? It's interesting because Harley is an American brand. It is an American-headquartered company, and yet the components of the motorcycles that are made in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania come from different countries. There are parts that come from Japan and Italy and other parts around the world. And yet we recognize it as an American-made vehicle, not only because where they are assembled, but because of where the companies are headquartered.
And so this trade dispute between the U.S. and the EU, it's been going on for basically a year now. What happens next? Where do you anticipate this will go?
I honestly think that trade wars are horrible. I don't think there's any winners in trade wars. And both sides have an incentive not to back down. And so what we'll see, whether it's our relationship with the European Union or our relationship with China, is further escalation. I think there's a lot of tension in the trade world today, and states are not going to back down, and especially the United States with the presidential election coming up so soon. There's no incentive for us to back down or to find some sort of medium resolution to this. And so we're actually going to see, I would say, that we're going to see a lot more tension increase over the next year.
And when you say tension and escalation, would that mean the U.S. will retaliate against the EU here and with tariffs?
The funny thing about that is, yes, I do think we will retaliate, but we're retaliating for something that the Trump administration created, right? And so I think there's a lot of noise coming out to the public. I think that they're, you know, and it's not just the Trump administration. I think most administrations think that Americans are busy, that we have a lot in our brains, and we do. We have a lot of information in our heads every day, and maybe we forget where things started. And so by framing that tweet yesterday coming out of the White House about protecting Harley and retaliating against the EU, for me, I study this every day, and so I have a long-term memory. But for average voters that have jobs and kids and are busy doing other things, they're taking cues from the White House and saying, hey, the Trump administration does want to protect Harley. And so I think that Trump will move forward with tariffs.
Well, let's tap into that institutional knowledge you have here. As you look back in time, does the current situation with this impending trade war, does it look like any time in history to you?
I think no. I think let's put it this way. If we go back to the 1930s, pre-World War II, it looks a lot like that. The United States was very isolationist in the post-World War I period. And after the 1920s, we put up a lot of tariffs and protected our industries here in the United States. But when the stock market crashed, it was to the detriment of the world. We're so interconnected, even if we want to be isolationist. And I'm not saying that we are isolationist right now, but this America First policy, this attitude of we need to bring industries back to the United States, we need to be more self-reliant, just isn't realistic in the world that we exist in today.
I want to pause right here and bring Jeff in from Appleton with a question. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. In listening to the conversation, it kind of sounds like President Trump just woke up one day and said, let's start a trade war with the EU. And I find that a little hard to believe. I guess what I'm wondering what the EU was engaged in that would have caused the tariffs in the first place. I don't think President Trump would just say, hey, let's do this out of the blue.
Thanks, Jeff. Christina, what started this?
It goes back to President Trump pandering to his base. Steel industry here in West Virginia, we have the coal industry. President Trump is all about bringing these bygone eras back, right? And so he thinks that by placing these tariffs on the EU and protecting us, protecting U.S. steel, which I grew up in a steel town in Pennsylvania, it doesn't exist anymore. U.S. steel is not what it was in the 70s and 80s. Tariffs are not enough to bring back steel. Unfortunately, it looks like it is to voters who may be seeing jobs resurrected, but it's not going to get back to where we were in the 70s or 80s. I say pandering, but it's also these overtures to people who feel that Donald Trump is going to resurrect these bygone industries.
Christina, thank you for joining us. Christina Fattori is an associate professor of political science at West Virginia State University, where she studies international trade and development. Coming up, we look at moving freight through the Twin Ports as the morning show broadcasts live from our studio in Superior. We talk transportation and logistics in the business of hauling cargo efficiently, all the while keeping costs down. We're at the Global Gateway for bulk cargo right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.